A lot of people today have formed an image of Jesus as like a happy-go-lucky hippie, where he goes around spreading peace and making everyone feel good and like flowers are flying or whatever you wish to make an image of it. But it's this happy-go-lucky hippie mentality that kind of drives their understanding of who Jesus is. Now, I want to say that could not be further from the truth, but there is a point to that, unfortunately, in my mind. But I want us to get a real clear sense of what Jesus is and what he intended to do. Because today's reading is not happy-go-lucky. It's not some hippie guy going, peace to the world. He clearly said, I have not come to bring peace. So what exactly does he mean and what is he intending? So let's get a step back. So we do know that Jesus did say, love your enemies, pray for one another, and also, I want to bring peace and reconciliation. But he also spent some time making a whip, intentionally taking time to make a whip so he can whip the money changers in the temple. He also made a statement so bold in John chapter 6, eat my flesh and drink my blood, that many people, most of them, walked away. And they turned to his disciples and said, will you leave me too? They said, where would we go? He also challenged the Pharisees. He was kind of a bold man who kind of overturned the understanding of the Jewish religion at the time and was very much so focused on that. But he wasn't someone who went around saying, I am the revolutionary, I am the rebel, I'm going to do these things. Neither was he just kind of sitting back doing his thing. He was single-minded in one purpose. And the best way to really describe this purpose is to use the visions of St. Faustina Kowalska, who was then Mother Teresa of Calcutta took her visions. So St. Faustina Kowalska, a Polish saint who had great visions of God, mainly Jesus in his passion and agony, and in one of her visions, she sees him on the cross, and he turns to her and says, I thirst. I thirst for the salvation of souls. Help me, my daughter, to save souls. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, now 100 years later, feels the same thing echo in her. My desire is for the salvation of souls. And she felt and reflected on those words, I thirst. If we remember that one point, that Jesus' whole point, his entire ministry, everything he did was focused on your salvation, we put things in a new perspective. The peace is, once everyone's reconciled, it'll be great and wonderful. Until that point, it's not so much. But until that point is what we see in today's gospel, where we have Jesus making a point. I'm going to divide people. Father against son, mother against daughter, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, three against two. Why? Because they're divided on what is important. They're divided on, do I follow God or do I do my own thing? Am I willing to do his laws or I want something else? That's the division. And that's the division he was willing to cause. And we can see that through the entirety of Scripture. Jesus made that point clear. You follow God's ways and that's the one way, or you don't. And that's why when he says, I thirst for your salvation, and he went the way to the cross, he made a point very clear to us. There is only one way to salvation, and that's through Jesus. There is no other way. We can't make up our own. We can't convince God, like bribe him enough money. He has it all already. Now I'm thinking of a joke. Why not tell it, you know? So there's this guy that went up to heaven, and he's debating with St. Peter. And he said, I want to bring something in. And St. Peter said, no, you can't do that. He's like, I want to talk to God. I want to bring something in. So St. Peter, frustrated, said, okay, fine. So he goes up to Jesus and said, I want to bring something in. Jesus said, whatever. So he goes down and he's searching through all of his belongings, looking for what he wants to bring, and he finally decides on it, puts in a briefcase, and triumphantly comes up to the throne of the pearly gates. And St. Peter said, you figured it out, huh? He's like, yep, I have what I want to bring in. Well, can I see it? So he opens up the briefcase, and in it are a bunch of gold bricks. And he said, wow, you could bring anything you want, and you chose pavement. That singular mentality, that purpose, that's what Jesus drove home. He wants our salvation. He's going to show us the way to make that happen. Now, for us, it gets complicated because we struggle with God's laws, and rightfully in some ways we should, because they're troubling, they're hard. We hear such strong words like, even if you look at a woman with lust, you commit adultery, or there's no other way but to follow with my passion, death, and resurrection. You must suffer as well. All these things are not easy to hear. But also the Ten Commandments, the laws of the Old Testament, are very much so difficult. They're not easy, which makes it so that we have to recognize the difficulty it takes to really follow God, to really do what Jesus asks of us, and that's where we stand today. We are also kind of in a place where we have to wrestle with this. Our first reading today from the book of the prophet Jeremiah gives us a good example of what I mean. Jeremiah, the great prophet of the Old Testament, the one who from the very beginning didn't want it. Lord, I'm too young. Pick someone else, please. But he eventually goes forward with it, and he endures severe persecutions. They tried to kill him a couple times. They imprisoned him a couple times. They ignored him. He went on severe fast. It didn't go well for him the entirety of his life. And today's reading is a wonderful example of that. He preaches, and he preaches what God wants him to say. He's his prophet, and they don't like his words. So how do they react? Throw him in the cistern. Let him die. And then they go, you know what? He's a prophet, and it's kind of bad to kill a prophet, so maybe we should bring him back, just in case we incur God's wrath. We don't want to listen to him yet, but we don't want to die either. That's where they stand. And Jeremiah echoes this very strong lament, chronicled in the book of Lamentations. God, why have you done this to me? You duped me, and I let myself be duped. That's his lament. Why did you put this on me, God? Why did I have to endure this? And I feel like if we really want to follow God's will, we fall in the same mentality. Why did you make it so hard? Why can it be like one law? Love me. Hey, that's actually the hardest one, by the way. Just saying. But the nice thing is, as we hear in the letter to the Hebrews, we have encouragement. It's saying, run the race. Keep going. Keep moving forward and know that God is with us. He wants our salvation. Jesus said, I thirst for a reason. I want your salvation, and I will help you with it. Just turn to me. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the perfecter of our faith. We can't do without him, so we might as well look to him, you know? But let's be very practical and real for a moment. How do we make this really happen? Well, first of all, we have to take ownership of our faith in many ways and say, okay, I want to learn it. I want to know it. What am I struggling with? If there's a law of the church or a teaching of the church that I'm struggling with, I should go learn about it. Come talk to me. You know, I might have the answer. Might. Otherwise, I have to go find it too. But we should be learning, constantly developing. What is it? And then we have to be praying. We have to hear God in our life, know his will, come to really build that relationship. God isn't a fictitious reality. He's not transcendent. He's right here with us and transcendent. It's complicated. Anyways, that's not the point. The point is prayer helps us understand God. Prayer guides us to realize who he is. Prayer guides us to get that encouragement we need to keep running the race so as to win. These two poles, knowing God and coming to love him through prayer, are the two most important things as we listen to his will, understand his ways, come to appreciate them and cultivate them in our lives. Because we also, like Mother Teresa, want to feel that very strong words of Jesus. I thirst for you. I thirst for your salvation. And it's not a plural, it's a singular. You individually, God thirsts for. He wants you.